me CC, as I was told, from Delaware.
My name is Sam. I'm a Grateful Recovering Addict.
Hey, Sam.
And truly, I would like to give thanks to God for another day clean for that. I'm truly grateful. I am burning up already, so I'm going to try not to take all my clothes off. But I am going to take my jacket off. That was a little inside joke for some people. Listen, I thank the committee for asking me to come and share. I thank my friend Wim, who believes in me as always, as I have believed in him in this process and watching him grow up. I thank the women that are in my life that helped me in my recovery and that I also help in their recovery. I thank my newfound friends, my family, which is Narcotics Anonymous, for just loving me enough for me to be in this process. The topic right now, y'all know I like to joke around a little bit, right? So they said, who am I when no one is looking? Now, I wanted to be nasty, right, and say I was playing with myself when nobody was looking, right? Y'all know, y'all masturbate, stop it. I am not... Y'all ain't gonna have me up here by myself thinking that I'm the only one that masturbate when nobody looking. What? And listen, my hair is all natural, so I probably have a power puff by the time I get done, right? So I'm just gonna put it up now, right, so I can try to still be cute while I'm up here. Listen, I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous May 19th, 1989, by way of detox. I never had a reason to go back out and use any drug, right? And I went to detox for 7 days, and the only thing they taught me how to do was to eat, right, and to cry. And I cried the whole time I was in detox, and I was trying to manipulate the boy to give me more food out the kitchen. And so he gave me more food out the kitchen. I ain't give him no favors in detox, but I was trying to get more food, and that's what I got. On my way out of detox, I was still dealing with the brother that was still selling drugs because that was my means of, y'all know, right? So I was still dealing with him, and I was still working in a bar because that was my only means of employment. I went to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and they told me, guess what, no matter what, don't pick up, 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 no matter what, don't pick up. So no matter what the situation you may be in, no matter what, don't pick up, right? And I'm here to tell you that no matter what, you never have to get high again, no matter what the circumstances are. And I'm telling you, I live with my dope dealer, and guess what, I didn't get high. No, I wouldn't ask anybody else to go through that experience, but I'm just here to let you know that you just ain't got to go there. You ain't got to use no matter what. I've been here since May 19th. Actually, my clean date is May 20th, 1989, because you know, I got to clean up a little bit. And so my clean date is May 20th, 1989, and I've been here ever since, and I've had a wonderful experience in Narcotics Anonymous and learning about who I am and what I am and what makes me who I am. And I just want to say that thank God for the step process. Thank God that the steps are in order the way that they are, because if they did the fourth step in the beginning, I would be messed up. I wouldn't be here. Thank God the fourth step is right where it's supposed to be, you know, because I couldn't have took searching and fearless moral inventory of myself when I first got here. I needed to know that it was something wrong with me. I needed to know that I was powerless. I needed to know that I needed to surrender and that I needed to admit that I needed something far greater than myself to restore me to sanity. Then I need to come to believe in a power. I need to come to believe in a power. I need to come to believe in God. You understand what I'm saying? I need to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. I need to get to that. And all the dogma that I had when I got here, I had to clear that up so that I can receive the true power that Narcotics Anonymous has to offer me. And as a result of that, I found a new God who was loving and caring and who was nurturing. But first I found y'all. And then me finding y'all, right? Y'all told me to be who I was. So I came in with my skirts up to the gazoo, right? I came in and I was still acting like I was on a hostel. And I know that I am still not the only one who did that, right? Now y'all gonna be participating with me in this meeting. I'm not gonna do the meeting by myself, right? Because this is a shared experience. And I know that they told me that I am not alone in Narcotics Anonymous, right? So anyway, I came in with the short skirt, still thinking I was, you know. So I'm doing this thing, you know, of still using my body but not giving up the sex as a form of manipulation to get what I want. Now, I'm still telling y'all, I'm still with the dude who was still slinging drugs, and I'm trying to get out, you know. I'm still showing up to meetings, and I'm still wearing the skirts up to the gazoo, and I got a sponsor who tells me, like, no, still, like, no matter what, don't get high. Like, I didn't come to understand what was really going on inside of me that led me to do what I was doing, right? Self-acceptance. Self-acceptance. Actually, I'm going to the triangle of self-obsession. It says, most children, through experience over a period of time, come to realize that the outside world cannot provide all their wants and needs. They begin to supplement what is given to them with their own efforts. As their dependency on people, places, and things decreases, they begin to look to themselves more and more. They become more self-sufficient and learn that happiness and contentment come from within. Well, I was still distorted when I got here. I still felt like all my needs had to be met by somebody else. I still thought that, like, it was you that made me who I was. I was still in that dilemma. I was still in that dilemma that it was up to you to make me happy. I was just, listen, it says that, you know, our character defects are distorted, our character is distorted out of proportion as a result of, like, what we've come to believe over a period of time, like the defective mechanism that we use, like anger, resentment, and fear, like self-destruction, like distorted thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Like self-deceit. You know, all those things that we begin to operate out of to, like, to survive in this world, right? Like, we use them and, like, our old skills become our survival skills that we have to, like, replace. We got to replace them with love, faith, and trust. But sometimes we don't even want to do that because we'd rather still utilize the things that feel familiar to us, that feel comfortable to us, so we can still do what we want to do, which is look outside of ourselves to find somebody else to blame for our stuff. Always looking for somebody else to blame for why I am the way that I blame my mother. I blame my mother all my life. See, I blame my mother because, like, I grew up without my father. My father died when I was 2. And so, like, my mother had to raise all these kids, right? And, like, I never had enough. Never had enough. Self-centered little girl. I wanted more. And guess what? I went out and I got more. I tricked for a new pair of shoes. I ain't tricked for no dope. My first tricking experience wasn't for no dope, man. It was for a new pair of shoes and a new outfit. And guess what? I hid it so that my mother wouldn't find it. Because she told me I better not bring nothing in the house. Nothing that she didn't buy. So I was hiding and I was sneaking at an early age. And I was using the very thing that I found out after being molested at the age of 10 that y'all told me I was, because I thought I was. Y'all heard my story. I thought I had seduced a man with no titties. That's my truth. I thought I seduced him, my uncle, at the age of 10. And that's not the truth. I was scared, and I was looking for somebody to love me, and anything that I could do to get somebody to pay attention to me, I did it. And guess what? In my relationships, until I found a new freedom, I used to do the same thing. I did whatever anybody asked me to do so I can get just some form of attention, some form of love. And guess what? When I'm by myself, I feel like a piece of shit. Looking for love in all the wrong places and finding sex. finding lust, finding somebody climbing all over you, coming all in you, all that gooky stuff. Ew. Just a droplet. They just do it. They just, there it goes. You understand what I'm saying? You know? Nasty. Oh, good. I'm still learning to like it because I'm married. You know what I mean? Who am I when nobody looking? That's my truth, man. Like, for real, I ain't like it. Because I grew up like using it as a job. It was a ways and means to get more from me. I ain't know nothing. I hope the kids probably need to leave this meeting. Because guess what? It's all for me. Like, I ain't know what it meant to have a true orgasm. I didn't know what that meant. I ain't know what that meant until I got clean. I'm my first piece of clean dick. Man, I was saying like, whoa. Like, wow. And then I got some pussy and I was like, woo. Wow. I was off to the races then, you know. I started out talking about masturbation, right? Who am I when nobody is looking? Telling you, tell yourself the truth about who you are. Guess what? I still like what I like. I don't care what nobody say. I just so happen to be married today. I still like what I like. I just happen to be married. And in me being married, I work being committed. I work at being truthful. I work at being honest. But in my moments, I'll be like, can I just have one more? I told him he need to go to the other meeting. He couldn't come to this meeting because it was going to be. You can't always have your partner in the meeting with you. We go to separate meetings. What? Because they can't always handle what you say. You take your man or your woman to the meeting with you and you get honest about some stuff and just really see how things are going to be when you get home. Oh. I'm only sharing my experience, strength, and hope. It ain't healthy. You know what I mean? We all suffer from the same disease, but guess what? We don't all recover at the same degree. What? So the bottom line is, like, I know what I can handle. I can send a meeting. I got tough skin. I've been around here for a minute, but I don't know how much I'm going to be able to take. He's talking about he ready to slide up in somebody. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to take that. If his disease gets up on him, and that's what his thought process is, just as a means of what his old mechanism was, I don't know. Listen. What? You ain't either. Let your woman or man say they want to slide up against somebody else. When you get home, you're going to bust one side of the head. When nobody looking. That's what you want to do. Listen, in my moments by myself, I'm grateful that there's a superior being in my life. And I need to tell y'all that the transformation that has happened in my life as a result of the step process has been phenomenal. And let me tell you this, that although the step process has been phenomenal, we still revert back to type on any given day. No matter how much time you got, no matter how many steps that you've practiced in your life, I've been through the steps several times. And guess what? I still want to be bad. And I even really want to be bad when I'm mad. And when I'm disappointed. And when I'm hurt. And like there's this experience that's going on in my life right now where I'm disappointed and where I'm hurt at, right? And like it ain't like I've been through, like I haven't done the same thing that somebody else has done to me, right? But it's something about like I've been like removed from certain things. Like let me just put it out there, you know, my husband was dating, you know, somebody in the rooms recently. And we were separated. We still separated. We just working on trying to work it out. But we were separated at the time. And I told y'all last time I was in the meeting, I said I had my divorce papers in my bag. I don't carry my divorce papers in my bag now. They sitting on the table, though. Because it just might happen. Because you don't know. I've been through a lot in that experience. But when I'm home by myself, I desire my husband. I desire my husband. So when I heard that this sister who did my toes, who was my pedicurist, Listen, hold up. She did my toes, right? And every time I would go to her house, right, she would ask me how me and my husband doing. Every time, and I'm trying to figure it out, man. I'm trying to figure out, like, what, I'm putting it together now. So in my quietness, I don't want to destroy them. Everybody got a right to recover, right? But in my time by myself, I want to bust a bitch in her mouth. Sorry for cussing, y'all. I want to bust her in her mouth. I want to come in and meet her. I want to act like I'm Rorty. I'm talking about, it talks about in the second step, right? It talks about in the second step. It talks about, right. Hold up just a moment, because I just want to read it out the book, because the book is deep. It's a good book if you take the opportunity to read it, right? It really is good. It really, really, really is, right? It talks about that we can become obsessed with self-destructive thoughts. And we may feel an urge to fall back on what seems easier, the familiar ways of our addiction. During these times, we need to renew our commitment to recovery. We trust that we are undergoing a fundamental transformation, even though we may not yet understand its full implication for our lives, as painful as it seems. As painful as it seems, we must change. It ain't say we will. It ain't say maybe. It ain't say sometime. It ain't say kind of, sort of. It said we must change. So I can't bust nobody up in there here. I can't do nothing self-destructive to myself. Guess what? I got to sit humble in a posture and call on God and say, God, just clear it up for everybody. Just love on everybody. Let me have compassion and freaking understanding and freaking empathy for somebody who's trying to hurt me in my quiet time. Does it feel good? No. No. I want to do something. I want to act out. I want to do it. So what I do, right? Because I ain't good all the time either. That was a little sidebar. But I want to be so good that you're wrong. Talking about who am I when nobody looking, I want to be so right that I'm wrong. And in my time with myself, I got to go to God and I say, God, listen, I know I didn't act appropriate at that particular moment, but can you just forgive me? Can you just love on me at this moment? Because I just want to be obedient to the best of my ability. I don't want to do the same things that I've always done. I just want to walk right. I just want to talk right. I just want to be right. Can you just help me? You know that cry, like when you didn't want to use no more. That's the same desperate cry that you got to have in the middle of the night when you're trying to be removed from a defect. The same cry, man. When you're just trying to remove, when you can't, like, act out and, like, use your flesh. Like to, like, deal with a situation because you only piling up more stuff. You only piling up shame, guilt, low self-esteem, lack of self-worth, lack of confidence in your ability to sustain yourself as you travel through a dark road. You still giving power to a lower power. You still operating out of self-will versus God's will. Tell yourself the truth. Who you really living for? Shit. I was all cute, my eyes running. Y'all know I got that new makeup from MAC. You know, when you going through, you go to the store, right? You go to the store, and you do a makeover. Because you think that that would be the best thing to catch them back, right? Well, then you try to lose weight, right? Because you find out that you're too fat in your own eyes. Because you start tearing yourself apart. Well, why did they do it? What didn't you do? Why didn't I act a certain way? People in our lives for a reason, season, or a lifetime. And when it's time for people to move on, it's just time for them to move on. It ain't nothing we can do about it. It just ain't nothing we can do about that. And we got to tell ourselves the truth about it. I thank God for all of my experience in relationships. I thank God for all of them because I wouldn't be the woman that I am today. And I tell you, in the midnight hour, I work real hard just at telling myself the truth. It talks about self-acceptance, right? Now, you know, I come prepared to do a whole bunch of reading and never get to none of it. It says many of the problems we experience in ongoing recovery stem from our inability to accept ourselves on a deep level. We may not even realize that this discomfort is the source of our problem. Bam. Hang a nail right there. My husband ain't my problem. My pedicurist ain't my problem. My employer ain't my problem. My sponsees ain't my problem. Guess who my problem is? Me. And when I tell myself that, then I'm able to change. Can't nobody change for me. So when I'm by myself, I journal. I do some writing. I take a look at myself. I say, Tammy, were you the best person you were supposed to be today? I say, no. I say, no. Because you got to tell yourself the truth. Because could I have done something different? Yes. Could I have smiled when I wanted to? Yes. Yes. So I got to say that to myself. And then I say, I'll do better tomorrow. And I thank God that I ain't pick up. I think, listen, I'm coming from a thing. I'm coming, because you know, my flavor shows up when I'm going through. All kinds of flavors. Because you come to realize that you like a lot of stuff when you clean up. Y'all know I like shoes. I like clothes because I tricked for my first pair of shoes. So y'all know that's a given, right? I like flirting. Y'all gotta shut that door. My husband might walk through to me. Now, don't y'all, now y'all swore to secrecy in this meeting. My flavor shows up. And everything ain't for no meeting now. It's for some people who know how to manage stuff. Know when it's going to injure them or others. So, you know, I'm mindful about what I say. But my flavor shows up. And it showed up in the right time. And I'm still denying myself. Because I like it. Y'all, I'm not the only one. They like a little extra. They said one is too many, a thousand never enough. That's our literature. So I already know that one is too many, a thousand never enough. But I know that I can't subject myself to having more than one. Can't do it. More than one is a setup to disaster. I'm not talking about external disaster. I'm talking about internal disaster. I'm talking about when you have to manipulate, lie, cheat, and try to say this for this and say this for that and say try, and then you try to remember everything that you said, then you get confused. It ain't like when I was using. I kept up on them. I don't know how I kept up on all of them, but I kept up on all of them. You can't do it clean because you got a conscience. You got a God and you work in a relationship. It talks about an 11th step. I know my time is probably almost up so that my brother William can say what he needs to say, but you know. In the 11th step, it says that open-mindedness is necessary to work in the 11th step. It is vital that we actively pursue knowledge of God's will for us and the power to catch up. Therefore, I'm not looking at what Tammy wants. See, when I get to this step, it ain't about what I want. It's about what the God of my understanding wants for me. That's why I got to deny myself in the midnight hour. Is it always freaking easy? No. No, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, no matter the consequences. Sometimes I want the bill to come in the mail. But when I'm talking about a greater consciousness with God, that I'm talking about, I'm praying and I'm sorting through to improve, I got to be obedient to the Spirit. And guess what? Doing the right thing for the right reason don't always feel good. I'd rather get instant gratification. It's easier in the beginning. You heard me? In the beginning, it's easier. It feels good. It tastes good. And it freaking smells good. But in the end, it's like rotten to the core because you look at what you had to give up to get it. You talk about your self-esteem goes down to the bottom of your heel, man. Talk about it. Don't nobody know it but you. Because you the one trying to pick yourself up. In the midnight hour, I'm lonely. I can't survive. I need him. I need him. You know, be a demon. I need him. It be deep in us. Because we don't put all our value and essence in the thing. In the thing. I'm talking about in the midnight. I'm not talking about when we frighten. Because we the best fronters that there could be. Act as if. We'll believe until you believe. So we acting as if. And so we pretending until we come to believe. I'm in touch with the day that who I am when nobody is looking is I'm true to me. And I'm not letting nobody else tear me down for my truth. My truth stands for itself. And as I tell myself the truth, I'm able to heal. Now, you can lie to yourself if you want. Tell yourself you want the other person. Tell yourself you want her. Tell yourself you want the new pair of shoes. Tell yourself you don't like the way they touch you. Tell yourself that you would like them to do it another way. Just tell yourself the truth. Just do it. And when you do that, freedom comes. And you have an opportunity to change. You have an opportunity to say, guess what? Because I don't like that, I'm going to teach somebody how to treat me. I don't like nobody hollering at me. I don't like nobody cussing at me. I don't like none of that. I don't like none of that. So I'm teaching people how to communicate with me. And I've been cussing a little bit over the last
month.
Mm-hmm. That was the Amen Corner sponsor. And when I'm angry and when I'm hurt, I resort back. And I ain't cussing almost, I've been clean almost 18 years. And I stopped cussing maybe about 10 years ago, maybe. But it was like an old habit that felt like right nice in a glove. You know, it just fitted. And now I'm saying, bitch, motherfucker, goddamn shit. And I got to say, forgive me, God. Because I still got to be true to me. I don't like it. But I know it's a defect that it'll be arrested again. And I'm not going to beat myself up for saying what I said. I'm going to be true to me. And I'm just asking you guys to take a moment. Right? I know my time is almost up. And I just want y'all just to do this favor for yourself. If you can just close your eyes, right? And just go into a place where you need to forgive yourself. For something that you thought, something that you did, and that you couldn't tell nobody.
but you willing to admit it to yourself right now. At this very moment, just take a moment to forgive yourself. It's the greatest gift that we can ever have, is to forgive ourselves first. First. Thanks for letting me share.
And our second speaker is William S.
Wow. Magnate Williams. Need to thank God for right now. Look, I gotta do. Let me do the business first. Let me thank the CMP Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous 21 for inviting us, right, and for putting in all the effort that it took to make what is obviously a very successful convention, right, and I know that because I've had an opportunity to interact with you. What I've seen and what I know to be true is that if we do what we're supposed to do, that somebody that haven't laughed in a while will laugh. In fact, I know that if we do what we're supposed to do, there's somebody that ain't crying in a while will cry. So what I had an opportunity to experience this weekend is look, to take my turn, accept my responsibility and let somebody else get in my pocket. Because sometimes you can't just run around here hoping that somebody else will do what it takes to carry you. So I showed up, suited up. Look, I'm excited. I don't know. I was a little anxious when I first got here, man. But I don't know. You know what happened. I got real excited when I got up here, because what I realized was that I was where I was supposed to be right now. What I realized, right, is that who I am when nobody's looking has changed dramatically, right, since I've been here. In fact, what I realized, and the problem about the piece about who you are when nobody's looking, is that just for the day, I'm not somebody different every fucking where I go. So let me get a disclaimer. I'm originally from the Greater Camden area, Narcotics Anonymous. I was born and raised in New Jersey. And one of the things that we have in New Jersey, that they have a version of it in D.C. It's called Six Flags. Yeah, group participation. See that, boo? Okay. So what happens at Six Flags, something real special happens. Now, one thing I get in touch with every time I go to Six Flags when I was a youngin', and everything I still get in touch with now, is that I'm a guy that's attracted to the long line. Come on now, wait a minute now. I'm attracted to the long line because it was the long line that they said that if you wait in this long line, they got the bag that killed Black Mike. So I go to Six Flags, already predestined to be a guy that's used to waiting and getting in a long line. I get in a long line, the line is so long, in fact, that they got TV screens all along the fucking line. You know what I mean? You got to be entertained. But I'm already entertained. Because what turns me on is all the oohs and the ahs and the screams that are coming from the ride. I'm not thinking about whether I'm ready or personally equipped to deal with what it is that I'm in the line for. So I get to the end of the line. It's the same thing at the end of this line that's in the end of every line that we go to. Now check this out. there's a sign there, and usually the sign, I don't know, it might be some little bear or some little coyote or whatever, but it sits right there, it's cut out in a piece of wood, and somewhere on there, it got a line on it. I want to talk about the line. The line says that you need to be at least this tall to ride this ride.
Say, well, why you mention that, William?
Because I know somebody should have warned you before you came in this meeting. I know that. I have already experienced more than I could have expected to just sit in here and open my mouth. Look, thank you. So I'm not going to tell you got to turn your cell phone off and all that stuff. Check this out. In fact, you might want to call your sponsor right now. That way you ain't got to try to figure out, well, William has said, and look, call now. I'll wait. Should I wait long?
Not long, Dad.
Okay. So here's where it's at, right? I am so grateful. I was thinking, look, this is really, really, really not, even though it looked like it's a drama topic on the outside, it's really not a drama topic. In fact, if I showed up here today in order to be a demonstration of what the recovery process has to offer, then what I should be sharing with you is about a gradual process where I still was stuck and seeing is believing until I got to finally arrived at a process where I started to believe in the things that I couldn't see. The problem is that all that I was stuck in, and the reason why I became so many people for so many different situations is because I was still concerned about what was going on externally. In fact, I was still concerned about how I physically hurt, and I never really addressed my spiritual condition. So the reason why I'm somebody else at work, and somebody else in a meeting, and somebody else around mama house, is because I'm really not okay with who I am. You don't just change up for no good reason. You change, man. Look, you change because what you do is you find, as what it does, you float at the level of comfortability based on the circumstances or situations that you find you in. So I'm a little more comfortable acting like an absolute part eight when I'm with you. But I got all the mad respect when mama say, boy. Now look. I don't know, like if you was raised up in the day where I came from, where all mama got to do is say, boy, and it changed your condition. Because I know that everybody in here wasn't raised in that type of respect. But look, I'm raised in a day where mama, the most powerful thing mama had to say was, I'm going to call your daddy. And it would change my condition immediately. So where I'm stuck at, because look, I heard some great stuff today. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time because the 5 minutes sign come kind of quick, man. I can't even like get healthy on some stuff and get free on some stuff because what I find and come to the conclusion of during the course of this day is that this convention and the underlying theme is about freedom. No longer want to be a guy that gets put in a certain kind of place, has certain types of expectations on him, that he seems to finally meet on an external level, but spiritually feels empty when it's over. No longer want to be a guy that represents all this great stuff about what this fellowship has to offer, and then like when you leave, I find myself stuck in the fetus position. I don't want to be the recovery role model for this great man of God all the time because for real, what I'm struggling with is that I know that I am not that guy. I don't want you to get my tape and give it to your fucking husband and say, you need to talk to William. I need to talk to him. They say, well, wait, what you working with, man? Look, who am I when nobody's looking, man? And who it was that I came here as is that, look, I was so excited because what I share with you is that this program is so powerful that it has the ability to turn a hoe into a husband.
Yeah.
So I gradually changed, and I finally became something that I never expected to be when I stopped having all what I thought was the good times, and I became a husband. And what I'm not sharing with you is that even in that process, I still had to put on a mask and be somebody else that I really didn't want to be, because I thought that I was going to have the greatest wedding of all time. They say, well, you got a good job, and you ain't mopping floors no more, and you're really doing fabulous. Here's the exact nature. What I was doing was the same grandmother that I used to low crawl through her hallway, the same grandmother who I was stealing $1.50 from so I can go have with you on a little something-something, the same grandmother that I found a sign in a hiding place that said, I hate you for stealing from me when I would give you anything that you want, the same grandmother that took me with a few years clean. I'm talking about after you get a nickel and you become a 12-step member, the same grandmother that took me to the bank and like put my name on her checking account. I'm talking about like when it came time to get married, and the same grandmother that has no job and no other resources and gets a little small check in the beginning of the month. I was going into her bank account because I had the fucking card and shit, and all I needed was my name and not hers to make sure that I had the best fucking wedding ever. And while she suffers, I'm doing fucking good. I'm not even, look, I get past the point where I think it's important to call her up and ask for help. Now I'm taking my help. And she's calling me up, and what I do is I don't want to answer the phone, because I already know what she's going to say. I already know she's going to ask me, look, I don't know what you're doing, like, with the checking account, but can you please stop taking my money? Mm-hmm. 10 years clean, and I'm still sticking up granny. I can't even get free. The car ain't running because I ain't scared of y'all. I came to get something. It ain't always about what I came to give you. I ain't come here to share the audition for the next fucking commitment. In fact, if the phone never rings again, I have my share. I'm talking about stock. I'm talking about sharing with you who I think you want me to be. I'm talking about like when I get so stuck, I'm talking about getting in relationships with people to fill a physical need, man, knowing spiritually that the relationship been fucking expired.
Well, help us.
Uh-huh. They say, who is this guy? Man, I moved to Manassas, Virginia from New Jersey, man, and the pride and the best thing I could share, I was sharing my ass off about how much integrity I had. I was all stuck and locked and loaded in the second tradition because I hadn't fucked none of you.
And that's,
yeah, you want to know who I am when you ain't looking. They asked me to share. So I'm having great ideas and I'm not calling my sponsor. I gotta maintain this peace. I can't do it to none of them, so I ship in my pussy. You need bus fare, train fare, cab fare. Fly on in. I'll meet you at the airport. Don't say nothing to nobody. You can't tell your sponsor about this one. You say, who am I?
Who am I?
I'm talking about the process. I'm talking about I want to talk to the new baby, the one that only believe in the shit that they can see. I need somebody to let them know, man, that just because we finished through the process of the keychain don't mean that we some kind of way arrived at a place where we still can't get fucked up.
That's right.
up in Virginia, man, and I don't know why they can't love me for who I am, and I got like 10 years clean at the time, man, and I'm stuck because the real me still ain't showing up. And so I'm somebody different in the meeting when I'm hanging with you, and then I'm somebody different when I get on 95 and I show up back in Jersey, and I'm somebody different when I show up at work and stuff, and I'm wondering why you don't love me the way that I am, because you don't know who I am. So the second step says, check this out, take it out. The second step says people tend to live based on what they believe. The problem is that I wasn't uncomfortable at first.
Yes.
The reason why I had the level of acceptance with who you are, right where you are right now, is because I understand that in my own process, as long as I'm still okay with what I'm doing, I ain't finished yet.
Say that.
I'm talking about cleaning. Look. With 10 years, cleaning still being stuck. So when I do what I do, so I had the girl, right? You know what I mean? The one that, I just liked what I saw. But even on the first day, like the first that said the issue with the first step piece is that the first time you use something that's abnormal or out of order for you, that there's an immediate sign or a detector that lets you know that you are out of order and out of place. The problem with why I find myself stuck in the second half of the first step is because I'll do it again and again and again until my tolerance for pain grows, and now I need a whole new bottom in order to know that I'm in the wrong fucking place.
And that would be true.
So I come to Virginia, and I don't want to call my sponsor and tell him that I got a great idea. So the whole joint calls. You know the one. The one that ripped my shirt off at the registration table at the Northern New Jersey Convention. The one I told you I was in love with. The one I broke up with on Friday. Sharing my ass off on loving you and losing me on Saturday. Went home on Sunday to find a bed that was stabbed up with a butcher knife. Started crying and begged her to please come back home. Went to the flea market to get a new bed on Monday. Man, I came to share, man. I got some guys in here, man. I just wish that my pain could be a down payment on your freedom. Yeah. I wish somebody could understand, man, that some of us been there before. I wish all of us wasn't just as fucking hard-headed. You understand what I'm saying? Stuck. Here's the one with my recovering ass, and I'm in double-digit years, and the relationship ends, and I want to share with you how the relationship ends on good terms, because I was reading some books and shit, and it talked about how they start is usually how they end, and I don't want to justify it and understand that I got into something that I knew was doomed from the beginning. Yeah. So thank God that God don't just love you, He loves them. Yeah. And so what God gave her the courage to do is leave me. Who am I when you ain't looking? Yeah, man, I'm talking about being stuck. So I get to Virginia, and I got a new life, and they pulled me out the little fish bowl I was in and dropped me in another small fish bowl. I'm recovering an addict, and ain't nobody coming running up trying to hug on me because I ain't new. And y'all got this thing when people move in your area that ain't new, is that if they don't seem like they needy, you don't act like they needy. And the problem with that is that more times we're more needy than you fucking know. And I'm stuck. ducking them. I'm hanging out and I'm recovering ass WMS. And I got a fireplace. I got an axe and shit. I'm splitting wood, Mark. I got it going up from McGuire fucking projects in Camden, baby. The swimming pool came in on an 18-wheeler. My grass grew between the cracks in the sidewalk. I'm living in Manassas and I got a yard. So I forget the difference between self-sufficiency and self-supporting. I don't tell you how I'm struggling and how I'm suffering until they come to tow the car. No, that wasn't enough. It says hit a bottom. My tolerance was pretty high. The tow in the car didn't work. It was the orange sticker on the front door of the house that worked. Here's a seeing is believing hit, man, for my new babies. Because I experienced some pain early on and over and over and over again, being a stubborn-ass addict that I have been throughout my entire recovery process, what I've learned in the 11th step is that if I pray, surrender a lot easier, I don't have to hurt as intensely or as often as I did when I first went through the same painful process. So what I did was, because I knew that I couldn't afford the car, whether I told you or not, I knew that I couldn't afford the place, even though I didn't tell you or not. So when I surrendered the car, God provided for me a newer car than the one that had just got towed for a lower amount of money. You don't believe me. I'm talking about when I realized that I couldn't afford what was behind door number one with the red sticker on it, that God took the apartment with the fireplace and gave me a house with enough room to put three of the old fucking apartments in. So I move through my process and I'm still trying my best to like show up and I'm still stuck because here's the thing, as I grow and mature in some areas, man, some areas still have me stuck because I still want to only give up this shit that I think I can't handle. And here's the problem, most of the people that I pick are no more than a fucking eclipse of what's really there behind them. So what I'll do is, because the chick got a little glow on her, I'll think that she's my whole motherfucking life, and what I'm not taking a look at is that it's the sun behind her that's really my whole fucking life. And then all she is a temporary motherfucking eclipse of what I could have. But because you got the fucking glow, and check this out, look, his old Ron A shit, for real, the glow is Vaseline. Yeah. Fucking fake glow, baby. Fake glow. I don't understand, my picker's still broke.
Yeah.
Because I think when gears clean, it automatically got fixed with no effort, out of season. Yeah, it says the full fruit of labor lies in the heart. So there's a problem with the labor as a seed that gets planted in you. They call it they said, look, it only needs to be the size of a mustard seed. I'm talking about a bunch of hopeless dope fiends, man. I'm talking about no hope. And you say, look, if you just watch, I said, just pay attention for the first time in your this silly ass. Look, just watch us. You ain't got to do it. You ain't even got to understand it. Just watch us. And then the hope shot with the little glimmer. It was a little bit of hope. It was a little bit that said, just maybe if it works for him, it'll work for me. And then you experience, remember, you do what they don't even talk about no more. You say you need to fan the flame. The problem is that we only tell people what they're doing wrong most of the time. We need to fan the flame and let people know when they're going over the top. I'm talking about, so I stayed, man, and I paid the bill. I don't want another check in the mail, Tammy. I don't want that. In fact, check this out about that masturbation piece you was talking about. God said that don't work, and that's the most self-centered act anybody can participate in, and it no longer worked for me. And then Matthew from Philly said, take your time, William, take your time. The problem is, and if I go right to the steps, And a matter of fact, it's in the third step. And my friend Karen said I could use it. It said in the third step describes every relationship I've ever picked. The third step describes who I'm sleeping with when my picker is broke. He said, oh, shit, you see that? Y'all got quiet. So let's talk about the third step. I don't even got to scream when I mention who you sleeping with. I don't got to scream when I mention that your picker's still broke. Somebody's in bondage right now, stuck on somebody they want to leave and can't. Maybe if I describe them to you, then maybe you'll get free. Because I don't want to be free by myself. Yeah. I got a little time. Look. This is the group participation part of the program. I'm going to read some stuff. And when I read what I read, I want you to, in the end, answer and put the name or whatever your flavor is in place of the word addiction. Third step, page 24, says, as addicts, we turn our will and lives over many times to the, yeah. If you sitting next to them, don't say shit. I think I'll move on next. It says our will and our lives were controlled by.
All right.
Check this out. It says we were trapped by our need for the instant gratification that gave us. During that time, our total being, body, mind, and spirit were dominated by. Check this out. Here's the soft-spoken shit. For a time, it was pleasurable. And then, the euphoria began to wear off. Wait a minute, that ain't it. And then we saw the ugly side of... Yeah. We found that the higher took us, the lower they bought us.
That would be true.
They told you who they was the first time you heard them. You knew it was wrong the first time you touched it. You knew nothing was supposed to feel that good. Especially when you had lied to seed in the harvest. We faced two choices. Listen. We faced two choices. Either we go on, I don't understand this paying attention. What it says is that either we suffered the pain of withdrawing from, or we take more of them. Here's more of them. When I can't accept that God has freed her from me, it's a phone bill. It's about an hour long. It's about 50-something calls. It's a whole lot of fuck you, and then fuck you, and then fuck you, and then please come back. I love you, and then fuck you, and then fuck you. You know what I'm talking about. get free. I want to use my source of strength and courage, man, and literature talked about it in the beginning as I got into the second step, which built a dependency on you, that you would be my source of strength and courage. I didn't say my greatest source. For y'all book readers that think I missed some shit. It says you are one of my sources of strength and courage. The second step is designed to build a dependency on you. I need to come to you. I need to seek out. Before I start to seek through prayer and meditation 11, I need to seek you out in 2. If I'm tired of being stuck, I need to ask, how do I get free? I need to stop knocking the old heads for like recovering ass off, because for real, I'm stuck. Experience, strength, and hope don't got a clean time. That was my couple second break. Where I'm at today is I'm grateful. What I'm grateful for is not that I've some kind of way found a way to not have the same struggles and problems that I had. Look, what I'm grateful for is that more times than not, I'm able to practice some principles. Yeah. What I'm grateful for today, man, is that I've been able to not only is my picker no longer fucking broke like it used to be, man, because the evidence of that is look who I surrounded myself with. Yeah, you. I've been able to surround myself with people, man, who can carry me when I can stand no longer by myself. I began to understand and buy into the fact that the person that's on the top of the pyramid is not necessarily the most experienced member, but the addict in the most pain.
Yes.
Thank God when we make the circle before or after a meeting that we all don't have bad days on the same day. Let me close with a practical experience and then I'm going to shut up. You want to know who I am when nobody's looking, right? Have some fun and shut the fuck up. I'm in McDonald's, right? You know, practical stuff. Saying is believing stuff. I ain't talking to y'all old heads. I'm talking to my new babies. I'm in McDonald's. I'm trying to do the right thing. I go in there and I go buy me a little snack. You know, a little something for breakfast. And I'm trying to eat better. But look. I'm at McDonald's. You hear me? I go get a bag of stuff. I even get it on the tray because I'm going to sit down and enjoy this one. I sit it down because I become a trusted spirit as a result of being here, because I'm usually surrounded by people I can trust. I leave my food on the table and then I walk away and I go in the bathroom. And when I come out the bathroom, somebody's eating my food. Now, wait a minute. I had some tools for this one. I know how to take my shit back. Well, I know how to take my shit back. But I'm recovering now. I can't just go and take it back. Because the person that's eating my food is a little old lady. Uh-huh. So I'm going to go tell on her. You say who I am when nobody's looking? I'm going to tell. So I go and I say, who's the manager? Who's the manager? I'm telling on somebody. That chick is eating my food. You say, who am I when nobody's looking? Right? Look, newcomer. So I go and I tell on her. So they give me another plate of everything that I had, and what they do is they say, you need to understand that she has a problem remembering stuff. What she does is she floats in here on a regular basis, and she just eats, she sits down and eats because she forgets that she didn't buy it and stuff, and what happens is that her husband comes in, and at the end of the week and pays for all the stuff that she's eating because she's really struggling, you know what I mean? Because look, this is about how we act around other people, right? So it give me another plate, it give me a tray, I go sit down, I start to eat my food, and check this out, if you want to know who I really am, the little old lady got up and walked away from her food. And she had a bag. I don't know if she was a bag lady, but because she said somebody was paying for the bill. All I know is she had a bag, and when she got up and went in the bathroom, I took the fucking bag. Yeah, I took the bag, and I sat it right next to me, and I continued to eat. Yeah. Who am I when nobody looks at? So check it out, like anything, the inevitable happened. She came out the bathroom. She sat down and started eating her food. She started looking around and realizing that something was missing. She looked over at me and she said, wait a minute. And she came over and she said, isn't that my bag? I said, I don't know, I just found it. So check this out, instead of arguing with me, she said, okay, and got up and walked away. She left McDonald's and left me with the bag. So what did I do? Since you want to know who I am when nobody's looking, I opened up the bag. He said, what was in the bag? Same bullshit I'm feeding you. Fuck, I look like taking some little old lady bag. Gotta be out of your goddamn mind. Y'all look like I take little people back. Yeah. Jesus Christ, she ain't working with nothing. Let me close like I always do. I close this way because what it does is it continue to put me in my proper posture with the God of my understanding. And the statement is simply this, that if you meet Wham today and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet the God of your understanding and you forget him, you lost everything. I keep coming back.